Happy Mother's Day. Since today is a national day of recognition of mothers, I thought it would be appropriate to look at some things that the Bible has to say about motherhood. The title of the sermon is Challenges and Blessings of Motherhood, and our text we are going to start in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1. But as for you, speak to things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love, and patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Notice in verse 4 it says that they admonish the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. This is the challenge and the blessing of motherhood. These things must be taught. And when they are learned, it is a great blessing. It's maybe a challenge to learn them. Once they learn them, it is a great blessing. A mother's love is not inbred. And we see that throughout the world today, there are so many children that are aborted. They aren't even allowed to be born. We see so many children neglected, so many children abused. And mothers must learn how to love their children. Titus 2:4. Some things that go along with helping that is experience, practice, being trained by the Word of God. All of that will help mothers to mature. And when we think about motherhood, the calling of motherhood is honorable, but it's also very demanding. And mothers must keep faith in God for their strength, their guidance, their comfort, and share your faith with your children. Sometimes, I can't speak for the women, but I know sometimes as a father, sometimes you might just feel like throwing up your hands and saying, I give up. There are so many things going on. Things are out of control. But God doesn't want it to be that way. And when we follow His word, it will not be that way. A mother is going to prepare her children for many things. And those mothers must be taught by older women. What are some of the things that a mother prepares her children for? Well, life in general is one thing, and that's from very young till your mother passes. Do you remember the first day of school? Did your mother help you get ready for that? Do you remember different important things in your life that your mother helped you get ready for? Did your mother help you get ready for the Sunday assembly? You know, when you start doing that, you do that Saturday night. You start preparing yourself. You make sure your lesson is finished. Your clothes are ready so you aren't scrambling around on Monday morning or on Sunday morning. A mother will help teach you how to prepare for that. A mother will teach you how to prepare for love. You know, when you become a teenager and you start getting these different feelings, you need someone to guide you and direct you. A mother will teach her daughter how to prepare for that. And you take that years later, and you can look at a young woman, and you can look at that young woman's mother, and the way that that mother treats her husband is probably the way that that young woman is going to treat her husband. Because a mother prepares her child for love. A mother prepares a child for faith. She does that by living the example, by teaching. And the mother has a special place of responsibility in the home. We're told that she is to be sober. This means that she is to make good judgments, to be able to discern between right and wrong. And she's got to have wisdom in that. She is to love their husbands, to love their children. It says that women are to be discreet, or mothers are to be discreet. That's a word we don't use too often, but it means to be of sound mind, of self-control, sensible, prudent. A lot of times, sometimes we say, I can't tell you what it is, but I can tell you what it isn't. And when a woman goes out and behaves in a certain way and blabs about this or that or does this and that, we know she's not being discreet. So women need to be taught how to be of sound mind, have self-control, to be sensible, to be prudent. Women are to be chaste. That means pure, holy, free from defilement and carnality. When you think about the idea of purity, I always like to use an example. Like if I have a glass of water and I start drinking that glass and I see something floating around in there, that's not pure water. Something has been added to that. Something is mingled in there with that. And as Christians, we are to be pure. We are not to let the world get into our life. We are to be pure, holy, free from those little things floating around in our life. We don't want carnal things in our life. We don't want to be defiled. Women are to be obedient to their own husbands. I find when I read through God's word, sometimes I come across a verse and I wonder, why do they translate it that way? When women are to be obedient to their own husbands. And the thought that comes across my mind with this, and again, it's a negative example, but sometimes you'll see a woman working somewhere, and she has a man boss, and whatever that boss tells her to do, she will do it. She'll do it, you know, right away, won't grumble, won't complain. She'll obey some other woman's husband, and then when her own husband tells her to do something, what does she do? She grumbles and complains. You know, we should obey everybody that we can because it's a reflection on our faith to God. But I just find that wording interesting. And a mother is to be these things, that the word of God be not blasphemed. This one passage does a wonderful job of outlining the role of the mother in the home. And sisters, God has a purpose for every one of you. God wants you to walk with purpose, not the purpose of the world. You see, Satan has a purpose for you also. He wants you to satisfy the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. But God wants us to walk with the purpose of glorifying God. Life is not about the stuff that you have, but about the stuff that you are made of. Life is about the stuff that we put into our heart and that we fill our mind with. And life is about all the things God wants us to put in our heart and fill our mind with. And what does God want us to put in our heart? He wants us to put Christ in our heart. He wants us to put His Word in our heart. You know, mothers can play a large role in that. And it can have a mother's role in that can have a lifelong effect. And most of you know, my mother passed away when she was about 66. I was probably about 28 at the time. The last several years of her life, she was not in good health. So the history of my mother is not as long as some people's history of my mother. But one thing that brings my mother's memory to me is her Bible. Her Bible. And mothers, if you don't have a Bible, get a Bible that you can pass on to your children. And my mother has all kinds of things in this Bible when I go through. And there's some songs she stuck in a bulletin, and there's notes. There's notes throughout it, and I wish a lot of times that she had used a pen instead of a pencil. A lot of it's faded, but there's all kinds of notes. There's several poems that's in here. There is something for dealing with worry. One of the things she has is Isaiah 26:3, peace of mind results from trusting God. Matthew 6:25, 31, 34, anxiety and worry is strictly forbidden of the Lord. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, the remedy for worry and subsequent results. You know, this is what God said. This is what my mother is telling me to do when I start to worry. And my mother and my father both, they were a product, or they grew up during the Depression era. They were young then. They saw how their parents lived. They picked up those habits. They lived that way too. And Kent, you would probably appreciate this, but my mother has several bookmarks in here. My parents never threw a thing away. So you look at this bookmark and you turn it over, and on the other side it has Little Debbie's oatmeal snack cakes. You know, she didn't go out and spend money or order online a fancy bookmark. She used what she had. And you say, well, you know, maybe I don't have a daughter. Maybe my daughter isn't interested in my Bible. There's some daughter in the faith that is interested in your life that you have spent walking with the Lord. Some of you may know or knew Brother Esten that lived south of here. He had a son. His son was a worldly man. I met him once. He was in high finance, lived in Manhattan. He showed me a picture of him and Madonna and some other people. He hung out in different circles. You know, Brother Esten, he would stand up there and go over 30 verses on one of those bedsheet sermons that his wife made for him. And Esten was, he was blunt and to the point, and we had a lot of discussions about a lot of things. And one day he said, "Bruce, do you want one of my Bibles?" And I said, "Sure, Esten." And he wasn't a mushy person, but that was him showing me that he loved me. And he wanted me to have his Bible. And sisters, don't take the little things for granted. Don't take your faith for granted. Don't take your walk with God for granted. And it can speak for years and years and years to come. You think about a mature woman who has the responsibility to her daughters, even they may be gone and be homemakers. You think about that relationship with a mother and her daughter should go throughout life. But the mother starts telling her child certain things, like we'll just pick the age 3, when she's 3 years old. That mother's going to teach her child different things when she's 23. And hopefully it's a lifelong process of sharing information. One way that older women can teach the younger is by their own example. By their example in speech, in works, in behavior. Their example of chastity, of modesty, of good judgment in clothing and in behavior. And if there were more mothers with strong convictions, there would be more daughters with strong characters. Who's going to turn this generation back to God? You look at young women, and I know none of them, or I know some of them were probably not taught any better. The way they dress, the way they have their body covered or uncovered, or what you see on their body in different places. Maybe their parents didn't know better. Maybe their parents knew better, and they didn't have the backbone to stand up and tell their son or daughter how to dress, how to behave. I know of a man, a godly man, and this was years ago. He was telling me about the trouble he was having with his daughter when those, I guess they're called hip huggers, I don't know, but those real low pants that girls would wear, and he couldn't get across to her that that was not appropriate. And these were godly parents, and in my mind, I'm thinking, you don't wait till she's old enough to have hips to hug. You'd start teaching her when she's a little child what's appropriate and not appropriate. Then you don't have problems when they grow up. Then they know without you telling them what will be pleasing to God and what will not be pleasing to God. But you look at what's going on in marriage, and that affects a lot of mothers. I mean, the divorce rate is so high. This whole movement to destroy the nuclear family and say that the family can be anything you want it to be. Satan is busy attacking us. We see there are challenges to motherhood, but there are also great blessings. But divorce and unfaithfulness to the marriage partner. There are so many marriages, they're married in name, but the partners are unfaithful. There's worldliness. There's a lack of spirituality. And again, this playing with definitions of what words are and making them anything you want to be. And then a lot of those people are in charge of training children as they grow up. So we need people, we need mothers that can instill in children, other people's children, anybody, those principles that the Bible teaches. If they do for the good or for the bad, it's going to be one way or the other, but it's like Galatians 6, 7, and 8. We know what we sow, we are going to reap. If we sow this kind of lifestyle, that's what we're going to reap. And remember, we should never be surprised. When we sow something, we always expect a larger harvest. Always. And David's told me about this song. I'm not going to talk about the song, but you take an apple and you take one apple. If you plant the seeds from that apple, are you going to expect to get one apple? No, you're going to expect to get bushelfuls. You're going to expect to get bushelfuls for years and years and years and years. That's the law of sowing and reaping. We see that. We understand that. And then when it comes to our life, when it comes to our spiritual life, we just cover our eyes and our ears and forget about that. We think, no, I can sow this and I'm going to reap that. I can do this and I'm going to get that. God's laws don't work that way. So there are things to I don't want to say worry, but I'll say worry. We worry about with our children and what's going on. Well, how can we remove some of that worry? Well, beside those verses I read, we need just to remove worry from our vocabulary. And I'll catch myself, oh, I'm worried about, and I think I've got to just get rid of that word. We've got to set our heart on praying without ceasing, set our heart on giving constant thanks and worshiping God, rejoicing, praying, and focus on God and what He can do for us. And remember that God is in control, and then we have to do everything that we can with our children to help them, and then they're on their own. You know, God didn't set the family up for us to take care of them their whole life. It's to teach them, and then they are to leave. They are to get their own mate and leave and cleave with their mate and start another family. So how do we, as talking to older women here, how do you teach a young woman these lessons, these principles? Well, one way, you can open your Bible and sit down and study with her. I think a way that's going to have a bigger effect is to show her. And, you know, the saying, I'd rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. And I know of older ladies that have long been gone that would pick up a younger lady, go and visit, go and help someone, go and clean somebody's house. And you're doing something good for yourself. You're setting the example. You're teaching what God says to do. And it's not just lip service. You're doing it. There's a challenge of time and using it wisely. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. There are many things that compete for our day. You know, I make out a calendar for each week and plug in things I've got to do, things I want to do, things I need to do. And then I get all of those other things that pop up, all the emergencies and this and that. And it's like there's never enough time. So what do? We've got to prioritize some things. And a mother has to prioritize some things. What's the most important? You've got to make time to talk to your children, to talk to them, to listen to them, to nurture them, to play with them, to teach them. Where do you do that? You do it everywhere. You do it in the kitchen, in their bedroom. You do it in the car when you're taking them somewhere. You do it in the park. You do it all the time. And a mother needs to remove distractions that prevent this. The mother needs to remember with the child, she is in control. That child is not the grown-up. You are the grown-up. You're the one in control. And the child needs to learn that. Deuteronomy 6:6, that's one of our memory verses in our memory packet. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Ye shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Wonder why he didn't say, let your Sunday school teacher, let the Wednesday night class take care of that. That's not, that is good to do that, but it falls back on the parents. It's the parents' responsibility to teach them. When we think about everything that the life of a godly woman, and again, like, you see, this was physically given to me, handed down, but every mother should pass on a spiritual legacy to her children. Not just a book, but something that is instilled in them that's going to make their walk with God better. Fathers are to do that also. I have to ask myself, am I doing that? But since it's Mother's Day, I'll ask you, mothers, are you instilling in your children a spiritual legacy? And again, maybe they don't want to listen to you now. Maybe they don't want to listen to you now. If you have one of these, just write down that person that's not listening and say, when I'm gone, I'd like so-and-so to have this. She might read it and look at it and listen to it then. We need to pass something down. Our children need to know that we have a deep faith in God. And they aren't going to know that until they see us living that. We must live it. Mothers must live it with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their strength. A mother has to do that before she can pass it on to her children. If she just gives God, the church, coming together, if she just gives that lip service, that's not going to mean anything to the child because it's not real, it's not authentic. But if your mother, your grandmother, if you go over to their house, you aren't a Christian, you go over to their house and it's 4 o'clock this afternoon, and they say, can't stay here, I'm going to worship, see you later, you know their faith is real. It's real, and people are going to want something that's real. Doesn't mean that we're perfect. It just means that we are striving to please God. We want to put Him first. We want to sing His songs. We want to speak His words. We want to know His voice. Again, we're talking about going to heaven. What are we going to do there? We're going to sing His songs. We want to hear His voice. We want to speak His words. This is where we prepare. This is where we get ready to do that. Children must know that God is real in your own life. So time is a big challenge. Have you ever wondered where all the time goes? I do. You know, we live in such a rushed world. Everything is like supersonic speed. And just thinking back over the time that I grew up, you know, like when you would spend hours cooking and then like the microwave came out and then I want my food right now. And like restaurants, you know, it was very rare to go to restaurants growing up. And then they came out with fast food restaurants and then they came out with drive-thrus. And if you want your meal right now, got too many things to do. There's too many cars in this line. I'll go to another fast food place. You get in line at a grocery store, you know, these so many item lines and too many people there. I gotta have it right now. It's like every day has the same number of hours in it. We've got to look at how we're managing our life, what we are setting as priorities, because we're just spinning our wheels, chasing our tail, trying to keep up with the world. This is a little off the subject, but I was telling Carol about a show I heard the other day on money, and the person was speaking about the trillions of dollars between this time and this time that are going to be passed on to the next generation from this generation dying. And the person was saying 70% of that money is going to be wasted because people don't know how to manage their money. And he said one of the things young people need to learn is when they get a raise, when they get more money, the first thing they should not do is go out and say, how can I spend this more money that I've got? They need to learn how to manage. But we're so busy trying to keep up with everybody else, and we can't keep up with everybody else. That shouldn't be our goal. We are to be a different people, a peculiar race, and we shouldn't get caught up in that race that everybody else is running. We are running a heavenly race, and sometimes it feels like we're so busy trying to keep up with our life that we don't have time to live our lives. I don't have time to enjoy my life. You know, I'm too busy. Friends, if we say that, we are too busy. We got to change some things. We need to rearrange some things. Friends, life is not about how busy we are, what we have on our schedule, how we fill our calendar. Life is about choosing to live it fully each day. Matthew chapter 6, we know that we are to seek. We are not to worry about those other things. We are to seek to put the kingdom first, and all of those other things will be added to us. So many of us have it backwards. Mothers, if God is not a priority in your life, God will not be a priority in your child's life. It's that simple. And that takes prayer and practice and teaching, but we've got to get that across to children. There's also the challenge of patience. Again, this applies to everybody, but mothers need to develop self-control. 1 Corinthians 9:25, we usually use it to apply to so many things, but it applies to mothers also. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. We need to learn some discipline. We need to learn to develop some self-control, patience. That's one of the challenges of being a mother. But again, you learn that. And when your child grows up, you're going to feel so blessed. Mothers must learn to be the calm in the midst of chaos, and have a level head in the time of crisis. They must be able to discipline without being angry. And there's just something about the love and the nurture of a mother. When I was a little boy, if I would hurt myself, I'd get cut, I'd scrape my knee or something, and I had my father and my mother, which one do you think I'd run to? I'd run to my mother. I'd run to my mother, and she, you know, lovingly, patiently did this. My dad might say something about, why did you do this in the first place or something. You just have, you have to learn to develop patience. There's the challenge of multitasking. That's a word I don't like. That came out when businesses wanted you to do everything. You do everything at the same time, you aren't going to do it well. But you do need to do, to be able to do multiple things. 1 Timothy 5:14 talks about guiding or ruling the house. That's the management and direction of household affairs. If you're if you're a mother, you're a wife, a mother, a housekeeper, a cook, a counselor, a doctor, a chauffeur, you have all these things to do. And sometimes they all need to be done yesterday. And being a mother can be a demanding job. So we've got to have a certain mind. And what mind better to have than Christ? In Philippians 2, 3, and 5, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When a mother does this, her husband will honor her, her children will honor her. Proverbs 31, 28 through 30, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. You see, challenges and blessings of motherhood are different sides of the same coin. You get married, you become a mother, there's going to be challenges, there's going to be blessings. There will be challenges, but what defines us as mothers or fathers, or and especially as children of God, is not how we handle the good times, but how we handle the hard times. You think about a tough situation that you've gone through at home, on the job. How you get through that is what defines you as a child of God. People need two things. They need a relationship with God and a relationship with the people of God, and that will help us do that. We can't say that we have a relationship of God if we don't have, and then not have a relationship with each other. It takes both. You can't be a mother without having children. Children are such an important part of life and of the future. And as I said, my mother had several poems in here about children, and she taped one in the back. She loved children. There were six of us boys, and she would always tell somebody how many boys and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. She loved children. She loved anybody's children. But this is a poem that says, I'd rather teach a little child. I'd rather teach a little child to do his duty well than to have the finest medal known pinned on my coat lapel. I'd rather help a little child to overcome his fear than to be a hero in a book, though lauded far and near. I'd rather hold a little child securely by the hand when he needs confidence and hope than to possess the land. I'd rather save a little child a few sad, bitter tears than have a lot of fancy things that fade with passing years. I'd rather cause a little child to wear a happy smile than wear the finest clothes myself or keep the latest style. I'd rather help a boy or girl to keep the path that's straight then hear 10,000 voices shout my name among the great. Children are to an extent what they become because of the mother that's teaching them. we owe mothers a great debt of honor and respect and love. And friend, a big way that you honor your mother is by being true to God. And I've told someone here, three parts of a sermon you try to put in there is something for people to think about, something for people to feel, and something for people to do. And your assignment today, if your mother is still alive, you call her and tell her you love her. If she isn't, you tell somebody that's a mother that you appreciate her. You appreciate her for the work she's doing. Friend, honor your mother by honoring God. Be obedient to God. And friends, if you aren't obedient to God, you need to be obedient to God. You need to start doing that. We beg you, we implore you, make your life right with God. Start living the Christian life. We invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.